So yeah, thank you for having me, and happy Father's Day. As most of you know, but maybe some don't, my name is Taylor. And last October, I got the chance to go to Australia to do a missions training school. And then also in February and March, I was in Detroit, and then went back to Australia. And so I came back at the beginning of May, and just wanted to share a bit with you guys about what I did, what happened, and what I'll be doing next. So I went over seas to do missions with YWAM, which stands for Youth with a Mission. And Youth with a Mission started in 1960 with a gentleman by the name of Loring Cunningham. And while he was on his own missions trip to the Bahamas, he saw a vision of waves of young people crashing on the shores of every nation with the gospel. And so that's how he started up YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And as of today, it has over 1,100 ministry locations where they serve in over 180 countries. And their goal is to know God and make him known, fulfilling the Great Commission. And so there's three ways that YWAM focuses on doing that, and that's through evangelism, training and discipleship, and mercy ministries. Mercy ministries, most of what that is a lot of it is taking ships to islands or to third world coastal areas and providing medical care and then sharing the gospel at the same time. So the location I went to with YWAM was Brisbane in Australia, which it's really small, but if you can see, it's the very bottom X there. We're on the very top X. And so Brisbane is in the middle of the east coast of Australia, and it's the third largest city. It's in the state of Queensland, and I went there for what's called a discipleship training school. So their training portion of YWAM, Discipleship Training School abbreviates to DTS. And DTS, the goal is to train people in discovering more about God, themselves, their relationship with God and missions, and then how to practically express and show his love and share his gospel worldwide. And so what we did first is they train you. You go through some lectures and growth phase, and then you'll also do lots of local outreach within Australia and service within your community, and then we went on an international missions trip for 2 months. So the base there, these are just some pictures. It was simple, but it was nice. It was on 2 acres, and it was in a residential community, a suburb of Brisbane called Mitchelton. So there were houses all around it, but we had buildings on our property for classes, for eating, for worship, for sleeping. Dorms consisted of 12 people to a room and 24 people to a bathroom. And there's up to over 130 people on base at any given time. I think right now is actually their quietest season because they have the least amount of schools and they're all on their mission trips right now, so there's only 30 people on base at the moment. But here's some more pictures of the classmates and lecture phase that we did. An example, too, in the top right is just the living room, and in the bottom corner is the dining room. It was all very open, so there's not, you know, the third wall isn't there, so, you know, you're open to the nature all the time. And their YWAM Brisbane's, I guess you could say, their motto or their main verse is Acts 1:8, which is, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So this is kind of how they run their base. They have their lecture phase, and you learn about the Holy Spirit and grow in that way. With training, and then we go out and we start where we are in our neighborhood and in Brisbane, and then we expand outwards throughout our state and the country and then the rest of the world. So that's how they expand. They start in Brisbane during your lecture phase and then to Queensland, and then you go just further out from that. So I'll talk a little bit about our outreach to each one, but I'll start with what our Samaria was, which is Australia, and just give you some facts about it. It was settled in 1788, and there's 2.8 people per square kilometer. And if you look in the top right-hand picture, that yellow area, only 2% of the population live in that yellow area. So all the 98% of the other people live along the coast there. There's lots of various climates, and there's less than 500 millimeters of rain per year, but when it rains hard. And Christianity is 61% of the population via official census, but it's estimated through surveys that churches have taken that only 10% are actually active Christians. Domestic child and sexual abuse are fairly big issues there, and also the Aboriginal belief there is called Dreamtime, which a little bit about Dreamtime is that it's believed that creation is to be the work of cultural heroes who traveled across the land and created sacred sites and places, and the trails that they walked across were called song lines, and so the song lines are written into songs and pictures and stuff, and the Aboriginal people sing them and follow them because they believe it'll keep the land alive and it helps them travel the land. So our Jerusalem within Australia was Brisbane. And in Brisbane, a lot of what we did was praying and evangelizing in the city. Because I went there focusing on video, a lot of what my group did, we would go down and film and share the gospel at the same time. So, for example, one of the projects we did was called Humans of Brisbane, and we asked them a bit about themselves and just about their self-worth and view of that stuff, and then afterwards we just shared the gospel with them and shared their worth with them. And we also went to a place called Fortitude Valley each night, which is the area downtown in Brisbane where the bars and the strip clubs and all the partying is each night. And so we would go out there from about midnight until 5 in the morning on Fridays usually, and we would evangelize and pray and just, you know, help out people that were overdosed or maybe a little too drunk, and make relationships that way. And, for example, one of the relationships we got to make was the first Friday I was actually down there. We met two dancers at one of the strip clubs, and we just talked to them, and we got to know them, and kept in contact with them, and they started coming out to our base and playing sports with us in the park nearby, and even coming to our worship sessions that we have for the community, and just spending a lot of time with us. And so now they both quit. They're not working at the strip clubs anymore. And one moved to Sydney, and she's a manager at a fitness gym, and the other one moved back to New Zealand and is spending time with her dad. And so it's just really cool because we've been able to keep in contact with them, and just seeing the relationships that we make, and the safety that even the dancers have said that we bring to Fortitude Valley. So Fridays used to be the busiest night down there for activity, and now it's the slowest, so now we've moved on to Saturdays. And the neighborhood that we were specifically in, our little suburb, was called Mitchelton. It's in northern Brisbane, north of the downtown area. And we would help out and serve there through having sports in the park each week for kids and families, and then a free barbecue for dinner. We also would invite people to come and worship with us on base. They had a cafe on base that was just donation-based so that people could come and just get to talk and get to know people. And even just helping and serving out the community in other ways, however we could. My friend up at the top, his name is Ramesh, and he's in a wheelchair and just has a hard time getting around and taking care of himself, so I would help him with getting groceries and stuff like that. And then they would also put on events for Brisbane. The picture down at the bottom with the giant inflatable soccer field, that was when we put on an Easter festival, actually, for northern Brisbane. And they had done it once the year before, And people were asking, you know, what is this about? Why are you guys doing this? Who are you guys? And they were able to build relationships and just kind of share the gospel that way. And people said, well, why don't you share the Easter message then? So this year we got to share a video of the Easter story. And now about Queensland. Brisbane was in the state of Queensland, so that was our Judea. And a bit of the places that we went to outside of Brisbane, and what we did, we went to the Gold Coast, also known as Surfer's Paradise, and we went there for a week to help out with a group called Red Frogs and Schoolies. So what Schoolies is Schoolies is what they call all their grade 12s that have graduated, and once they graduate, they all go to the Gold Coast for 2 weeks and just party hard and drink and do drugs and have sex for basically just 2 weeks straight. And so this group called Red Frogs walks the streets basically and hands out Red Frog candies. That's where the name came from. But they just provide safety on the streets, and if people are drunk or overdosed, they help them out. They help walk people home. Just provide a safe area. They provide fun activities that people can do that are alcohol-free and drug-free. And then even in the mornings, too, they'll get up and make pancakes for schoolies if they want them and help clean their rooms and just show love that way. So our days usually consisted from 8 a.m. until 3 a.m., and then we'd start again. So we did that for a week straight. Next, we went to a place called Toowoomba, which was between 2 or 3 hours inland from Brisbane, and so that's the furthest inland that we actually went. And we went there for a week to do team building for our international outreach teams, for that our missions teams that we were going to be going on in February and March when I went to Detroit. We also went to a place called Byron Bay for about a week and a half, and that whole time we just really spent doing street evangelism and prayer and just walking the streets and just being really led by the Spirit and seeing where He wanted us to go and what He wanted us to do and who He wanted us to pray for. And so that was probably my favorite week, honestly, because He was always giving me something to do, even when I was bored. And, you know, we went up to the lighthouse for New Year's Eve to celebrate New Year's, and I'm not a huge party person or a celebrating person, so I was just kind of bored and sitting in the corner, and He brought along this Austrian lady, actually, that was there, and she was visiting. She's like, oh, I just felt like I had to come up to the lighthouse for some reason, and we started talking, and she was having a really hard time with the fact that she was going to have to go home soon because she just had problems at home with her family and felt like she wasn't wanted, and when she was there, there was always trouble and stuff, so I just got to talk to her and hang out with her, and she ended up coming back to Brisbane when we were there, and just got to really talk with her and pray with her, and still in contact with her as well. And so that was honestly just a really good week, just really hearing God and seeing how God works and how He uses us as teams. We actually, I was in a group with two other girls one day, and we just decided to pray to see what God kind of had in mind for us to do that day. And one of them got the color green and a picture of a surf shop, and the other one got the name Samuel, and I felt like we were really supposed to go eat ice cream. So I was a little hesitant to say it because I was like, I promise, this isn't like me. I feel like we're supposed to go get ice cream. So we went, we got ice cream, and we sat down and didn't really look where we were sitting, but realized we're sitting outside a surf shop. And across the street was a guy dressed in a green shirt, and he was talking loudly in the street, reading from a book, and the book that he was reading from was a book of poetry, and the author's name of the book was Samuel. So we went over and we talked with him and prayed over him and for him, and yeah, so it was a really good time, and I had a lot of fun in Australia and just really hearing, learning about hearing God and following Him and what He says. Even in Fortitude Valley, one of the stories that my friend who kind of helped start it up before I got there, what he said was they were all praying one night beforehand to see kind of what God had in mind, who He wanted them to talk to down in the bars and stuff, and one of the guys didn't want to share what he got, but because he thought it was silly, but the people kept pestering him to share what he saw, and so he said, well, I feel like the Holy Spirit showed me a picture of a chicken running around a light pole. And so they all just kind of laughed it off, but when they were down there that night, all of a sudden, one of his friends, you know, was poking him, and he says, look, and there's this guy, and he was there for his bachelor party, and he was dressed in a chicken suit running around a light pole. So then in February, March, I went to Detroit for 2 months to do a missions trip there. There was six options, actually, of where to go, and so they just asked us to pray over it and ask God where he wanted us to go and tell them the next day. So we didn't really have a lot of time. We were just supposed to trust God and what he said, and so I felt God very clearly wanted me in Detroit. He gave me the verse Ezekiel, which says, go now to your own people. I'm not sending you to a people of obscure language. And also, too, whenever people asked before we knew the options where I wanted to go, I said, I don't know, somewhere with tigers. And afterwards, I realized the Detroit Tigers is the baseball team. So, anyways, that's where I went. And some facts about Detroit and its history. It was settled in 1701. Probably most of you guys know it for Henry Ford and the car industry. There were riots in 1943 and 1967, which resulted in what they call the White Flight, which is basically all the Caucasian people left Detroit and moved to the suburbs. And so it was big enough. It was built for nearly 3 million people. And at its peak population in 1950, there was 2 million people living in it. But now, because of the riots and moving out and their bankruptcy in 2013, there's actually only 700,000 people living in a city that's big enough for 3 million. And so because of that, there's lots of urban decay. Tons of houses have just been left abandoned, and you know, our trees are growing in them, or the roofs have fallen in, the glass has been broken. Tons of buildings, too, are boarded up. There's tons of abandoned schools and stuff like that. So crime is high, and the police ability and availability to get around to all that is very low. Only 53% of the population is actually literate, can actually read. So 47% of the population is illiterate. And 60% of the children live in poverty. And it's just a very segregated area, so 80% of the people that live in Detroit are African-American, and the area that we were living at, we were living on 8 Mile, and that's actually kind of the segregation line. So we were living south of 8 Mile, but north of 8 Mile is where all the Caucasian people live, and then south of 8 Mile is where the rest of the people live. And it also has the largest Muslim population per area outside the Middle East, so it has two very big Muslim communities. So these are pictures of me and my team. We're an all-girls team, and we're also the smallest team from our base. The largest was 11 or 12 people. They went to Japan. And we lived with staff for the YWAM Detroit area. We lived with a staff of 8. So there was 10 of us living in one house, and then the base director and his wife were living in the other house across the street in our neighborhood. And these are just some pictures of Detroit, so you can kind of see the urban decay and some of the buildings, but also the old historic buildings. And the picture at the top of the statue there, that's the spirit of Detroit. And so basically what they describe it, the verse, it actually has a verse behind it, and it says, now where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And so the holding in his top right hand, that's kind of to symbolize the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and then the family, and just that he's always there for them, which is pretty cool that they still have that. And some more pictures. Our team, we did lots of cleaning around our neighborhoods. We spoke at a church and visited a Buddhist temple and a Muslim mosque to talk to the leaders there of that of those areas. And then just some other ministry things that we did in Detroit. We did a lot of helping the homeless and evangelizing downtown, so providing them with blankets or inviting them to join us for lunch or for dinner, and just talking to them and really listening to them, because they don't have a lot of people that will listen to them. So that's what we did a lot of. And then we also got to talk. We also got to speak English and teach English to Muslim women in one of the Muslim neighborhoods. And we taught above a hookah tobacco bar. So that was really fun. And we also did a lot of kids ministry as well. So we would go to the schools and we would help them learn how to read. And a lot of the schools are getting shut down. There's already tons that have been abandoned or boarded up, and just more are getting shut down just because they don't have the money or the programs or the teachers. So it makes it harder for the parents, because they either have to drive their kids a lot further to get to a public school, or they have to pay a lot more for a private school, and they just they're still, you know, in a very low economy and don't have that kind of money. And we also would do after-school programs 3 times a week for kids in our neighborhood and in our area. So that was cool, because we got to use one of these buildings that had been actually converted. It used to be a bank, and so they changed it up so that we could do these kids' ministries there after school, and share God's love with them and be able to feed them, because a lot of the time they wouldn't get dinner when they got home, and then we would drive them home and kind of just provide a safe area for them to stay until their parents got off work. So yeah, that is about my time in Australia and Detroit this past year, and I'll show a 10-minute video afterwards, actually. But I'm just going to share a little bit about what's next. I've been asked back by the YWAM Brisbane base in Australia, and feel led to go back there to actually staff with them. So I'm going back at the end of August for 2 years, and I'm going to be working in their group, their staff group called Go Teams. And so Go Teams is basically the heartbeat of their base. It's their staff missions team, and what they really do is they work to bridge the gap between the church, the community, the base, the government, and then the nations as well. So they basically, they're very diverse, and they just do everything they can in every way to share God's love and to equip others to do the same, to serve the community. So just some of the examples of some of the things that they do is they teach and work and mentor in the public schools. They're actually allowed to go into public schools and teach about God, which is pretty cool, and they've been granted a lot of favor with the government. They train churches and other organizations, as well as they train the students like I was that come to the base, and they help plan their outreaches. So, for example, when I went to Detroit, they help plan that. They find them contacts, they find them housing and things to do before they get there. They serve in the community through sports, arts, the events such as the Easter Festival. They do lots of homeless ministry. And again, just serve the community in any way they can, any way they're able to share God's love and get in contact with people. That's what they do. And they also do lots of city and street evangelism. So again, Fortitude Valley, going down there each week would be a big thing that I would still get to do. And they also get to do sometimes their own short-term missions internationally. So for example, they went to Indonesia for 2 weeks. And then they also do lots of local ministry, so getting to go to the local towns or the Aboriginal towns and be able to serve them and share God's love and God's message with them. So that's what I'll be doing, and if you feel so led to help, it's very much needed and appreciated. No one in YWAM actually gets paid. It's all voluntary, and so you raise your own support to cover things such as rent and food and transit and all that stuff. So ways you can support include prayer and encouragement, and financially as well. Australia is kind of expensive to live in, but God provides, and it's very possible. For example, if 50 people were to give $30 a month, that would cover it. And just details about the different ways to give, or if you want to sign up for updates or newsletters and be able to participate that way, it's all on a table out in the foyer that'll be set up. And also, almost every page out there has my email address on it, so you can just email me and ask me questions or talk to me personally, and just find out different ways that you can give. When I was going over there last time, there wasn't a tax receipt receivable option. There is this time. YWAM Vancouver is able to do it for me, so if you need a tax receipt, that's a possibility. There are processing and overseas transfer fees associated with that, so not all of the donation will end up going there. But that's entirely possible, or you can just give to me personally. Also lots of people ask about the kangaroos and the koalas. I never got to see them until my last week when I went to the zoo. But I got to hold them, so. Thank you very much for your time, for your support. And now there's just a 10-minute video that I'll share with you guys. It just has a bit about what we did in Australia, as well as Detroit, and then as well it has just a 2-minute video project that we just did, just to give you an example of the video stuff that we did while we were there.